Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to the fifth session on Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say. And I trust, again, that you've been saying some things that we've talked about here in the past weeks. But before I get into today's session, just let me say to you, those of friends who are in East Tennessee, that we've been praying for you guys. I will tell you that the ministry has sown seed into some missions up there that's going on. And we just are believing that God is going to restore what the enemy has stolen from you in East Tennessee, from our brothers and sisters in the Lord, particularly in North Carolina, as well as in South Carolina, and certainly down in Georgia. I want to compliment Believers Church in Sylvania, where my son Clint pastors. They have just been a real witness to the community in that area. And he sent me a text today on their crowd at their church, and an amazing crowd coming in given the circumstances, some of their best attendance. And I think that that's important, because he was teaching on having joy during difficult times. So very pertinent, and it thrills my heart to see him lay aside what he had planned to do and hear from the Lord as to what to do. And we're just believing with you guys down there in Sylvania that restoration will come quick. Multifold restoration will come quick. And at the same time, now we're beginning to pray for people in Central Florida, including our son Brad, who really lives about 3/4 of the way down in Jupiter, with this additional storm coming across. Now, for you and I, we can look at wars and rumors of wars. We can look at some of the earthquakes or storms that are going on. And we can let fear arise. Do not let that happen. The Lord has told us that these days are coming, not so that we can panic, but so we can be prepared for it. And I'm just going to tell you, I truly believe that in these difficult times is our time to shine more brightly. And even what we're studying now, I think, is preparing us for that, so that we can walk in the blessing and do what? Be a blessing to others. So let me pray and we'll jump right into today's session. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that you have God that will protect us. And Father, I ask that believers especially have that quickened in their heart, that you will protect them and that they will stay away from fear, so that they can receive that which you have promised them. Open their hearts to see the truth, even as we're studying today. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things, and we say amen and amen. Today, we're going to be continuing to talk about what we've redeemed from. And the title of today is, So Much I've Been Redeemed From. And you're going to see that in the second part of the session today. Last week, we talked about not connecting with the curse. And we do that by submitting to God and resisting. Now, we've been anchored in Psalm 107, verse 2, and I want to read it again because this is a kingdom principle. Let the redeemed of the Lord, those of us who have been born again in Christ Jesus, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. The devil does not have his grip on us. He cannot keep it on us if we submit to God and resist him. Now, say there, as we've talked about, is to publish, to declare, to really make known what our Redeemer has done for us. We've also been anchored in Galatians 3, and we are those who are sons of Abraham by faith, and as a result, we're heirs of Abraham and Jesus. I want to remind you, was also an heir of Abraham. And what have we seen? We've seen that the blessing is a part of the gospel. And in verse 13, it tells us that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And we've been redeemed so that we might participate in the blessing of Abraham. Now, we learned two things last week that I'm hoping we confessed. What are those two items? They're really good news. They're gospel truth. Number one is I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And number two, Father does not want me to have any of the curses manifesting in our life. Now, why do we see so many? We talked about that again. Christians today who really are afflicted or impacted by these curses. And we've come to know that the devil's going to try and put it on us. He can't make it stick if we do our part. And we can't ask the Lord, we sing, to just take it away from me, because he's already done it and he wants us in our authority to act. In other words, don't get connected to the curse. And if we do have it come against us, resist it. We studied last week in James 4, verses 6 and 7, which says that he gives a greater grace or more grace. And then he says God is opposed to the proud, so he gives grace to the humble. So we see that humility is a big part of it. And humility is really what enables us to submit to God, as the next verse says. And then we can resist the devil. We can't go it in the other way. And we saw that when we don't submit to God, that really what we're doing is probably making the devil think we're submitting to him. And in fact, we probably are. Because were you warm, were you hot, or were you cold? But we can't be in between. So we need to make that decision to stay committed to our Lord Jesus, to where we're walking in faith, we're walking in love, and we're being led by the Spirit. And we saw in Deuteronomy 30:19, where he said to his people, and this is instruction to us as well, as we must choose life. He says there at the end of this verse, he says, therefore choose life so that both you and your descendants may live or may have life abundantly. And that is what we must choose and lay hold of. Proverbs 26 verse 2 tells us that a curse will not come upon us without a cause. Now, we said the devil will try to curse you even when he doesn't have when we don't have a reason for it. But what do we know? He can't attack us. He can't stay connected to us because we are redeemed from those curses. And then we closed last week looking at Isaiah 53 verse 7, which talks about Jesus going to the cross and all that he went through. And during that whole process, he didn't say, I'm not guilty. He did not open his mouth, just as we saw like sheep do before the shearers. And he did that, though, so that he could go pay that price for us, so that we can now open our mouth and declare with the authority that we have what we are, who we have been made to be in Christ Jesus. In other words, what? Let the redeemed of the Lord say, let us publish what God has done for us. Let us declare what he has done for us. And we saw a principle of that applied in Paul's life in Acts 22. I think it was verses 23 through 29, where Paul knew his kingdom rights as a Roman. And when those rights were about to be violated, he didn't be quiet. He realized Jesus was quiet so that I can speak up. And he declared those rights to his accuser, to his, what it then was being his adversary. And the result was what? He didn't get whipped. Now, he still had a lot of things going on. He still had afflictions coming against him. But we have a great example of how we can open our mouth and declare the Word of God. Now today, I want to focus on so much that I've been redeemed from. We're not going to go through every verse in the curse part of Deuteronomy 28. But before I jump into that, I want to just make a few more comments about this curse and connection and obedience. So let's start with the connection part of it. Now in Luke 10, this is when Jesus is charging the 70 and he's telling them how to go out. And he declares unto them, he tells them to declare peace unto this house. And look at what Luke 10 verse 6 says. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. And if not, it will return to you. Now that ought to sound like Proverbs 26, 2, that a curse without a cause cannot what? Alight. It cannot connect with you. And notice the implication now. If there's peace, it will connect with them and blessings will flow. If there is no peace, then that peace will come or return unto you. And we are not created to be connected to the curse, but we are created in this new being that we've become, in our salvation, to be what? To be blessed, to abound in His peace. Now, I want to mention in this same vein that fear can often be used as the How about we call it a quick connect, like a plug that has just a connection and unconnects real easily. Now, why is that so important? Well, fear is something we cannot afford to walk in. And notice the wording in this verse in Job 3, verse 25. Job says, "For what I fear," and here's the phrase, "comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me." Same thought, same concept as what? The things that he's dreading, the curse part of it, is connecting with him, and I will say in this example, and his posterity, his children. And that was really what he was so fearful of. And that's almost the same words that we saw last week. So we see here how fear creates a connection to the curse. And really and truly, if we're honest, if we walk in consistent fear, then we're making ourselves subject to the curse. No condemnation with this now. We just need to begin to declare that I'm redeemed. I have no connection with the curse, and Father does not want me to have it. But fear can make us subject to it, and we need to be aware of that. But what do we know? Faith in His Word, walking in faith, in love, led by the Spirit, will always connect us to the blessing. Now, the last thing I want to mention in wrapping up last week is in choosing light and life. Now, we saw that in Deuteronomy 30, 19, and when we talked just a few moments ago, where the Lord said, "I'm setting before you blessing and curse," or life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, he ends up saying, choose life. Listen to Job 36, verses 11 and 12. So I'm going to give you a couple of more witnesses. "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. 12, but if they do not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." So here again, we see that this is a choice that has to be made. Now, I also want to point out that Job feared, but when he got his act together, what happened? Well, the Lord restored all that he'd lost during that time of dreading and fear as it came upon him. We also see this same principle in Isaiah 1. Now, Isaiah, I consider kind of a gateway to the New Testament. And listen to what it says in verse 19. And many of you will know these verses. "If you are both willing," and I added the word both there, "but if you're willing and obedient." Now, what does that word obedient mean? Remember us talking earlier about it means to hear intelligently. In other words, I'm hearing the truth and I'm going to act on that truth. So if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good, or some translations say the very best, or the fat of the land. But, and we didn't read verse 20 earlier, if you refuse and rebel. Remember we talked about when we don't, we can miss it by ignorance, but we can also do what? We can miss it when we choose not to believe it, and that's the same thing as rebelling against the truth that God has taught us. "But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." That doesn't mean he condemned you, but it means he put the blessing and the curse out there with his words, and they are in effect today. Now, Jesus made it so that we don't have to obey it perfectly, but we do need to be obedient, just as Jesus was. "I only do what I see the Father do." Glory to God. Hearing and obeying has always been the connector to the blessing. And disobedience and rebellion is tied to the curse. And both of those will be the same through this dispensation. Now again, our obedience is in response to His love, not out of fear of punishment. So don't get into self-condemnation. Now in our remaining time today, I want to take a look at what Scripture teaches us about the curse. But I want to do it with this understanding. And here's these two items again. Don't get tired of me mentioning these today. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and Father does not want me to have any of the curse or any of it in my life. Now, you may say, well, why are we talking about the curse? Because we need to understand what we are redeemed from. I'm giving you verses today that when things try to attach themselves to you, and you're going to see it in a lot of different areas, but primarily healing, that I'm giving you verses today that you can use and wield the sword of God, the word of God, with great effectiveness as you believe, as you walk in faith, in love, and let the Spirit lead you to use these verses to bring to naught those attacks that come against us. And we'll focus, and we're going to close with several weeks on the blessing, so we're going to get there. So let's start looking at the curse. Now, I want to start this by beginning in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Verse 15 is a pivotal verse. We have studied several times together in recent years the first 14 verses. That is the blessing. I'm not going to read those today for time's sake. We'll be in those shortly. But verse 15 says this, "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you this day." Now again, remember, this is not how we have to be, but this is how they were. But the concept of hearing and obedience is still the same. He said, if you observe to do all of his commandments, if you will not obey and observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that these curses shall do what? Come upon you, attach themselves to you, as they overtake you. And then listen to it. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd and the younger of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Now, to those of you who know what's in some of these verses in the blessing, this is exactly opposite. It's like I could do on my word processor that I prepare this with, a copy and a repaste, but do what? Add the word not in there, if you will not hear intelligently, if you will not be obedient. So directly opposite of what we see in the blessing. Now, as we read these things, so all the verses we're going to read are after this pivotal verse 15, they're part of the curse. Please remember and go back to this concept. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, it doesn't have to be attached to me. And don't ever get tired of you saying that or just bypass the thought pattern as I said it. Now, if I could show you my Bible, and I don't know how clearly you can see, but on this side of the page, which is where verse 16 begins, I have redeemed, let me just read it to you exactly, redeemed from all these, and they are the curses. I've even gone in on the next two pages and repeated parts of that, redeemed with an arrow down for everything that's there. And the next page says, I have been delivered from these. So that is the mindset that I want you to read these and see them as being powerful in your life today. Now, curse will impact every aspect of our life. He can try to impact, and you'll see that in some of what we're going to do. So I'm going to show you a few areas of the curse not directly related to healing, and then I want to focus on some of these that are related to healing, because I often get questions, well, what does this mean? And probably the most common one is, what is the botch of Egypt? So we're going to cover those things. So look with me at verse 23. And I want to read you a few verses about the land. And I'm doing these for a reason, because you're going to see as we get to the blessing that some of the things that are said here, we're going to be identically on the other side of that as we talk about the blessing. So verse 23. And the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. It sounds like it's not going to be a land that's very fertile to me when I read that. And he goes on in 24 and says, the Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. So again, non-productive land. Now think back to the blessing, and I just want to do a couple of these analogies to show you what's coming, give you hope. Even during these trying times that we're in. That is the exact opposite of the blessing for the resting of the land in the seventh year. Exact opposite. What did that land do? It produced a three-year abundance. It got them through 3 years with one planting and one harvesting. Oh, praise God. That's what we can have. Look at verse 33. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. So we see this word oppressed, and we're going to see that some more. Well, what's he saying here? Even if you do, if you work as hard as you can, if you toil and labor in it, in pain, and it produces, you're not going to get the enjoyment from it, or basically he's saying you won't be able to partake of it. And I want you to just take my word for it. We're going to look at some verses that God tells us he wants us to enjoy what the blessing provides to us. In fact, he says it's a gift from me. Verse 38 says something similar. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you shall gather in little, for the locust will consume it. We're going to see that the locust doesn't have an impact on it. Us. Our seed does produce when we sow his truth in good ground. Now, we've heard the word oppressed. Verses 43 and 44 talk about this. It says, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. Now, don't start thinking about illegal aliens in this country. I know there's a lot. I don't like an open border, but I don't worry about being dominated by this because I know I'm redeemed from this as a curse. It goes on to say, he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He'll be the head and you shall be the tail. We're going to see it's just to be reversed. We who are blessed should have that light shining so brightly upon us. And then verse 48 talks about how enemies are going to come against us and we'll be in hunger and thirst, nakedness, and the lack of all things. So what do we see here? Oppressed through lack. And that is not the blessing. It's exactly the opposite, as we saw in some of our studies earlier. The last one I want to mention here is no peace or no rest. Now I want to remind you, we who are born again should not be like the children of Israel who wouldn't enter into his rest. That's what Hebrews 3rd and 4th chapter talks to us about. But we should be those who do what? Enter into his rest. So verse 64 says, moreover, the Lord's going to scatter you amongst all people from one end of the earth to the other. And then it'll go on to talk about you're going to end up serving other gods. And then 65, very blunt, says, and among those nations you shall find no rest. Another word we could use for that is no ease. In other words, constant issues. There shall be no resting place. Here's this concept again. And I'm not talking about a rest where I just put my feet up and not do anything. I'm talking about resting in our God and letting the blessing work instead of us working and toiling. It goes on to say in 65, that we shall find no rest. There will be no resting place for our foot. And I'm going to stop right there because we're going to pick up the last of that verse down in a section as we're talking about the impact on our physical being and on the soulish realm. So now let's focus on healing. And I'm going to do it by looking at the curses so that we can see what we're redeemed from. So if you have something that we're talking here today about that has been attacking your body, what do we know? You have been redeemed from it. God does not want you to have it. Therefore, we can declare as the redeemed these truths and watch Satan as we submit to God and resist the devil by declaring these truths. Watch him flee from you. Remember, as in stark terror. Now, again, we've just talked about those two good things that we want to remember as we go through this. Verse 21 is where we'll start. 21 says, the Lord will make a pestilence cling to you until it has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. Now, Pestilence is not a word that I use very often. If you look at a lot of different translations, I'm not going to give you the names of all these translations that I've pulled all this from. But the word pestilence can mean a plague. It can mean diseases or infections or infectious diseases. Now, what would be another word we might use today? How about a pandemic? This pestilence we have been redeemed from. So we want to remember that. And this pestilence, this pandemic, the coronavirus and other things that people are talking about mostly in fear that may be coming, then what do we know? We're free from it, and God is not putting it upon us. Verse 22 says, "The Lord will smite you." Now, again, that word bothers some people, but remember, He's spoken these words, and we don't need to worry so much about, am I doing it perfect? But what do we need to be concerned about? Am I yielding to Him, submitting to Him, and following His leading? "The Lord will fight you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat." And then it says, "And with the sword and with the blight, with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish." So let's talk about those first four. Consumption here is, many translations will say, tuberculosis or TB. And that's what it actually was called, a wasting disease, which is the next part of this. It says consumption, and then it says with fever. It can be wasting diseases or infectious diseases. And then it says He can do it with fever, or fever is part of the curse. And other translations will say recurrent or frequently recurring fevers. And then it adds this phrase, with inflammation, with your body resisting something evil coming against it, but it causes an inflammation in your body. Now, inflammation here, according to the Septuagint, which I understand is a very accurate translation, the Septuagint actually says with colds. Now, I know inflation is tied to things like arthritis as well, so we can consider those kind of things, but it's talking about colds and infections that cause inflammatory issues in your body. And then it says what? With fiery heat. Now, some translations for fiery heat will say high fevers. Some translation actually use the word malaria. Another translation says fever caused by streptococcus or strep throat, as we might know it. And another one actually says influenza. And then there's fiery heat. Just with that, that is the extreme fevers and things that come against us. Now, after those things that can impact our body, then we can see also that there are some things that are not directly related to that. And I want you just to note, it says, with blight, with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish. Now, they're listed here. But when did these kind of things come upon the earth? When Adam sinned. So this is something that didn't come with the law, but these came with the fall. And now you see how these two tie together. All because of sin. And what? They're still with us. Now, one of the things that I'm going to continue to stress is we're redeemed and God does not want us to have these. Now, why am I continuing to do that? Because if you truly believe that this is something that God is using to teach you, you will not be able to resist it. And if God really wanted me to have the curse, then you know what He would have to do? Nothing. The curse in this earth would take over. That's how much we are kept and preserved in our new covenant. All we need to do is exert our authority, submit, and resist. And what do we know? He'll flee from us in stark terror. Look at verse 27. Now, you're going to see two words that are used in most translations here. It starts off and says, "The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt." And other translation will say, the boils of Egypt. Now, people ask me, what is the botch? And before I've really studied this in years gone by, my response would be, I don't know, but it doesn't sound good, so you know it's got to be bad. But what the botch really means here, and what it's translated, is as boils, so infections that pop up, burning sores, ulcers, scabs, and sores, so diseases that cause scabs. One of the things I thought about was measles and the impact they had on children, you know, as a young child. The second thing that's mentioned here, after the botch, and again, you're going to see two words that are used here. Some translation will say emerods, E-M-E-R-O-D-S, and others will say tumors. So what is that? Well, the first one is simply what we would term today a hemorrhoid. But many others, again, say tumors, all types of tumors. And it goes on, other ones will say these words, swellings, sores, and the word piles. Now, that brings back memories from a long time of my grandmother using that term. She was a nurse, and I just remember that for some reason. But what do we know if a tumor appears, or any of these things that we've talked about? It is not God's will for me, and I can reject it and demand it leave my life by professing these words that I have been redeemed. I am free from the curse of the law. Now, what do we want to check? That we're in faith, not fear, confident in walking in His love, and led by the Holy Spirit. The third one that's mentioned here is and with the scab. Now, here's what some other translations say. Scourging, eczema, malignant scabs. Now, what does that sound like? Skin cancers. Now, that's actually what the Septuagint says. And can I just mention this to you, that the word malignant or malignancy has as its root and is a word to be used for evil? You know, that's something I learned in doing some preparation for this. But what does evil do? It works death in you and I. He's come to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. But what do we know? We're redeemed from that. The fourth one on here is the itch. Other translations and some of the expositories say allergies impacting skin and other skin illnesses. So things that we think we are reactive to. I've heard of testimony of one gentleman who was reactive to poison ivy, and he had it so bad that it would recur at times. It got so in his body. And he got these truths and stood on it, and it's been 40 or more years since he's had any of this. Now, he doesn't go and play with poison ivy, but he has no fear of it, and if he touches it, he knows it has no authority over him. So what do we see here? We need to be strong and loud that we are what? That we are declaring that I have been redeemed from these. In other words, I'm free from it and I'm choosing life and death. Now, I don't think I'm going to get through with this. We choose life and not death. I think I said and death. So what I want to do is I want to talk about some of these that are in verse 28. And we'll just close with this one today. And we'll pick up here and then go as the Lord leads us into the blessing next week. But verse 28, we've been talking about things that are what? So far, physical. But these next few, I want you to see, we're going to have some that are physical. But many of them are what I would term impact our soulish realm. Verse 28, the Lord will smite you with madness, with blindness, and with the bewilderment of heart. Some translations will say astonishment of heart. So, madness. Other translations say insanity. With things that would cause you to lose your mind. And we have this phrase, bewilderment and astonishment of heart, also used in it. And we even have some translations that say it will make you crazy. I want you to say with me, I will never lose my mind. Now, let's say that together again. I will never lose my mind. Now, blindness is the second one, and that really impacts our eyes. But what does that do? That's one that just creates great fear in people. And so we see that connection to the mental state as well. The third one on there is bewilderment, confusion of mind, unstable. Now, I picked up years and years ago from Brother Keith Moore, and I'm talking when I first started teaching back in 2008, this confession that he used to have his class at Rhema Bible Training Center make. And here's what he said. I am quick, sharp, bright, smart. Now, if you want to go on, I'll finish it for you. He says, I am good looking, I am very rich, and I am a major, major blessing. Now, you say, well, that's pretty profound to say that, a bit arrogance. No, it's not. This is what you're going to see the blessing says about you. And so we ought to be able to say, I'm quick, sharp, bright, smart. I will never lose my mind. Now, I'm going to spend a little time on this one because I want you to see the subtleties of the devil's one way that he tries to get to us, and that's through our thoughts. When we say things like, I just get so confused, or I'm confused, or why is it that I seemingly am getting more and more confused? I'm learning to stop saying those things. Because what am I doing? I'm identifying with the curse. Now, the enemy uses things to do this to us. Songs. Terrible. Particularly country songs. A lot of country music says, I'm going crazy over you. Or I'm losing my mind over you. And those phrases are all in the music. But we also see that in books, on TV shows, on movies. And what I'm hoping is that you'll see how these things are trying to make these common to us. So, well, I didn't really mean that. But what we say, I go back to idle words, they can impact us. I will make this statement. We need to be more careful about saying phrases like, I'm losing my mind, I'm going crazy. We need to be more careful about saying those words than we do words that we would just call curse words. Now, that may make some of us very uncomfortable, but that, I believe, is the truth. What we're doing, and we don't realize it, is we're really speaking a curse over ourselves or speaking damnation over ourselves. So say with me now, I have the mind of Christ. Let's say it again. I have the mind of Christ and I have His peace. I have the mind of Christ and I have His peace. So when symptoms come or these thoughts come or I find that I've said it, then just step back, receive the forgiveness, confess it if that's what you need to do. But do what? Go back and step into that authority that we've been given and to declare these words that we see. Lord, you said that these are curses and I am free from this. I will not have madness come upon me. I will never lose my mind. Bewilderment, confusion, you will not come near me. You cannot stay. Now, we're going to continue on. I hope this gives you some encouragement because there's six verses, seven that we're going to look at that go on with this because you'll say, well, there's some things that aren't listed here. We're going to cover everything in these next few verses. Saints, God's made us free from these curses. They have no attachment to us as long as we don't allow them to. And we can build our faith as the Holy Spirit leads us and as we walk in His love, so that as we speak these, you will see the devil flee in stark terror. I look forward to finishing this with you next week. If you say, that's just hard to believe, go back and listen to it again, not just so you're listening to me again, but so these words are getting deep inside you. We love you and look forward to being with you again as we conclude our thoughts on being free from the curses.